You'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, the final chapter. For the Trekkies, it's the final frontier. So it's Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father, you are so good. You have spoken throughout all eternity, and out of your mere good pleasure, you had it recorded for us that we would hear your voice. The only thing standing in our way from hearing your voice is our hard hearts and closed minds, and so we pray that you would shatter those, that we would digest your word and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen carefully. This is God's holy, inspired word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. So I heard a story of a man who went to the Holy Land. And he was there with his mother-in-law. And when he was there, his mother-in-law died. And the funeral director there said, "Well, you can get her buried here by the Sea of Galilee for about $150, or you can spend thousands of dollars to send her home. What would you like to do?" And the man said, "Send her home." And the funeral director is kind of confused. I don't understand. Why would you not want your mother-in-law to be buried by the Sea of Galilee? Could there be a better place to be buried?" And he said, "Well, the reason I want her sent home is I heard 2,000 years ago there was a guy that was in the tomb and he came out. And I don't want to take any chances." This is a really familiar story for many. It's not as familiar as it was to Americans in the 1950s, but it's still a very familiar story. For Christians, oftentimes, it's too familiar of a story about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and we have lost wonder and awe over it. This is true of all of Scripture, of course. Of any Scripture you're familiar with, we need to hear it fresh and new. That's one of the reasons we pray every time before we read Scripture. It's a recognition that we're not always paying attention to the fine things that are in Scripture, the nuances that are there. A lot of times we miss, especially in narrative story, the amazing nature of the work of God. And that is certainly true here. Because when we wake up on Easter morning, we think this is a good day. Maybe we're going to see family. We're going to have some special food that we especially like. It used to be women wore hats on Easter morning. You remember that? I think they used to wear them a lot in worship, but especially on Easter morning, they would pull out the fanciest hat they could find. It's a good day. We like Easter. But it wasn't like that the original Easter morning. It wasn't like that at all. The women are going to the tomb for what reason? They need to embalm Jesus. Right? They go with spices to anoint him with. When they go to the tomb, they're concerned about the work they had to do. There's still some people concerned about the work they had to do in preparing a meal, I suppose. But I'd rather have that work to do than to embalm someone, I guess. And they're concerned, and we're told from another gospel, they're concerned about how they're going to get the stone rolled away so they can get in to do the job. They're not sure how that's going to work. They're going to that tomb, they're mourning and they're weeping, they're grieving, and they've got these things that are weighing heavy on their minds. That's what Easter morning was like for the early church. Well, the men stayed home. Yeah. Some things never change. But when they arrive, things are not the way they expected. I think that's what we miss. They didn't expect anything good. They expected nothing good. Notice that the stone was unexpectedly rolled away. And the body of Jesus was unexpectedly missing. And you, on our side of this, we think, well, that's good. That's the resurrection. For them, that was terrorizing. Someone had stolen the body of Jesus. What had happened to it? I mean, what else would you think? Because they had not remembered yet the words that Jesus had spoken. They had forgotten the promises that he had made. They are like us, a forgetful people. In the NIV, it says that they stood there wondering about this. But that's a bad translation. They weren't wondering about it. They were perplexed and confused about it, which is what our ESV translation has it as. They're standing by the tomb is two men whose clothes were white like lightning, or dazzling apparel, as the ESV has it, signaling that these two guys are actually, in fact, angels. Now, this is another unexpected occurrence. They did not go to the tomb expecting to see angels. They could not have known that. And the angels say to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I mean, the women must have been like, "Excuse me? We're not looking for the living among the dead. We're looking for the dead among the dead. What are you talking about?" And see, we forget that. We think they already know that. They don't know it. This is shock and awe to the women. It's hard for us to get this because we've heard it too many times. Well, not actually literally too many times, but we've heard it a lot of times and we've stopped paying attention. But just try to imagine the emotional roller coaster the first witnesses to the resurrection were experiencing. And they haven't even seen him yet, so they just knew that he wasn't there. And that's what they say, that's what the angels say. "He is not here. He has risen." And so the women take that information and they go back to tell the apostles. And we would imagine at that point there was great celebration wherever the apostles were hanging out, that they were just rejoicing at this news. But in fact, what happens is that they think the women are out of their minds. You have lost it. You've inhaled too many of the spices you were using. Except for this note that Peter runs to the tomb and he marvels at what he sees. I'd like us to consider the question of what does the resurrection have to do with me? Right? We know that it's a story. It's not like a myth story. It's a historical reality. This did, in fact, happen. This is recorded history. But so what? What difference does it make that Jesus rose from the dead? It's a little bit like the question that we asked on Good Friday. Why do we call Good Friday good? As a Christian, you should have an answer to these questions. Right? You should have an answer. I think, actually, why do we call Good Friday good is the easier of the two questions. But what does the resurrection have to do with me is what I want us to consider. Dr. Laura got a question from a couple. They were engaged, and the woman had said to Dr. Lurie, "My fiancé and I were having a problem. We're both Christians, but he doesn't believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, and I do." And Dr. Lurie's response is, "Why on earth would that make any difference?" Is that your response? If that's not your response, then why does it make a difference? Right? It's not enough to just say, well, it makes some difference, but I have no idea what it is. How do you know that it makes a difference if you don't know what it is? Think about that. Well, I'd like to suggest to you that the resurrection has relevance to your past, to your present, and to your future. It's one of the few times that my sermon title actually ties in with what I'd want to say. That's what ADD gets you. So the past. Now we know that the resurrection of Jesus happened in the past. We get that. That was a past historical event. It's one of the most testified to historical events in human history. And yet some people wonder whether it really happened. Kind of strange, actually. We know that, but what does it have to do with your past? You might say, well, what? My past? Yeah, I know that it's a historical event, but what on earth does it have to do with my past? Well, it has a lot to do with your past. Because there is something or many somethings in the past that you are not proud of. Right? All of us have a past. That's another way of putting it. Now, I realize that sitting in church, if you actually hear what I'm saying and be honest, you would agree you have a past. But you would imagine that maybe some of the other people around you don't really have a past. I tell you, that is not true. That is not true. Everyone has a shady past. And if you don't think you have a shady past, you probably haven't come to Jesus yet. Because you don't know how pure and righteous He is. There are many somethings in the past which bring much pain. There are things in the past that you cannot change. Some way you have died a little bit because of what has happened to you. We all have. Everyone's been wounded. We were dead in sin, our own sin. And we were affected and wounded by the sin of those who sinned against us. That is all of our past. And it reminds me, however, that it is in the past that that we were justified. And the resurrection is our justification. Does the resurrection matter for your past? The resurrection is proof of your justification. Justification means being made right with God. A restoration of a relationship that is meant to flourish. And we know that. You say, well, I thought the cross is where I got justified. Well, yes. Yes, the cross is where Jesus purchases your justification and your redemption. But it is only in the resurrection that you can become sure that what He did on the cross was actually what He said He did on the cross, which is cover and atone for your sin. If the cross happened and the resurrection didn't happen, we would not be sitting here today. It is only because Jesus rose from the dead. Paul talks about this in Romans 4. Some of the Romans Bible study students will remember this. And it says this, "But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone," referring to Christ, "but for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord." And then listen, "who was delivered up for our trespasses or sins and raised for our justification." You see, your justification is in the past. It was purchased and accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And it was revealed to you with surety in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You can look back at your past. You can look back at the pain. You can look back at the failures and say, "That's not me anymore. I have been bought with the price of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself." But it isn't just the past. The resurrection has implications for your present time, for our present life. Now, I know that there are some people, there are even some church people, that say, "Well, the skeptics say this, but church people do it differently," and they say, "I really like coming to church. It's a beautiful building. The stained glass is marvelous and the music is good. And the pastor tells jokes that are sometimes funny. And I get to see these people that I like. But I have to live in the real world. And this is something else, but it's not the real world." And I say, there are a lot of people that think that way. And the people that think that way have missed the resurrection entirely. Because one of the things that the resurrection teaches us is that Jesus is alive and well. He is reigning. He has dominion. And He rules over all of creation. Right now, He is King. And He is Lord. This isn't a history lesson. There are plenty of seminary professors that think this is just a history lesson. And that's why they're producing students that are worthless. This is not a history lesson. This is more than a history lesson. This is the reality of the universe. And God's claim upon every square inch of it. When Jesus Christ rises from the dead, He ascends and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's a coronation. He is King. Well, some people would wonder about that, and they would like to believe that all that's true, but they're not sure that they do. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you today. Some would like to trust the promises of God, but are not sure they can. Some yearn to get a glimpse of the light of Christ, but to this point don't believe they have. In many ways, to live in this condition is to live in the tomb. It is to live in death. But this is not where you are called to live. For we serve a living, reigning God. Now most people don't get the sin issue very well, but there are some people get it too well. There are some people that talk as if this is all you deserve because you are a sinner. But don't talk like that. Don't ever say that because of that I don't deserve His grace and His love. Because when you do that, you are leaving the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are leaving the heart of Christianity behind. The good news of the gospel isn't that if you pretty yourself up and tidy yourself up, and start to do the things you think God wants you to do, that then He might take some interest in you. The good news of the gospel is, before you've ever turned to Him, He has claimed you and brought you to Himself. He loves you before you even know Him. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The resurrection is a testimony that that is true for you today. If Jesus is not here in the tomb, then why should you live like you're still in the tomb? Come out and arise and live in the glory of the Lord. So in the past, the resurrection has immediate relevance to you. And in the present, it is the reminder that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. This day, this side of the cross, we live in the power of the resurrection. But the resurrection has relevance for your future. Now I'm wondering if a mother called into Dr. Laura with the question, with the report that her 2-year-old has gone missing, and her husband thinks the 2-year-old is dead, but she thinks the child is still alive, would Dr. Laura say it doesn't really make any difference? Because that's what she said about the resurrection, right? It doesn't really make any difference whether Jesus is alive or dead, whether it really happened or not. No. Not just because that matters for your past or your present, but because the answer to that question matters for your future. Because His future is your future. If you are a Christian, then you are united and bound to Jesus Christ, and whatever His future looks like is what your future looks like. And that's good news. Because He's the Son of God, His future is bright. In fact, it said He is the light of the world, and your future is bound up in Him. And in Romans 8, it says, "Nothing then will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." That's looking towards the future, saying that your future is secure in Jesus. It doesn't matter what your past is, because the resurrection and crucifixion have dealt with that. It doesn't matter what your present is in that way either, because eventually your present will become your past, and He's dealt with that. And that resurrection is a testimony that one day we too will be resurrected. And praise the Lord. That the one we serve, the one we have been called to worship this morning, is not dead, but alive. And that means that if you are in Him, you have security to eternal life. What better motivation could there be for service in the kingdom of God than you're a child of the kingdom? You too will experience the power of the resurrection. The Bible talks about that. You know, we think, well, we're going to go to heaven. No, your bodies are going to be resurrected. We're all hoping for improved forms of that. Or the 20-year-old version of it. But as Paul put it, if there is no resurrection of the dead, forget about it. What are you doing? Your faith is useless, is actually what he says. Then he says, at the cost of his life, and all the apostles, most of them martyred for proclaiming the reality that Jesus is not dead, but that Christ is risen. To the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.